You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. The Lakers just won a championship. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. I had to email Damian Lillard directly and ask him for permission. Like, can I have my co-host back?
Okay, stop lying. You did none of this. What brought me back to life was the Lakers' win tonight. Their win was so emphatic over this team that is like trying to keep LeBron and made a trade with them to try and keep LeBron that it actually raised the dead. So I am back to life. I am no longer a Big East basketball reporter. That stint lasted one game. And, you know, I decided I like NBA basketball better than college.
By a lot.
Yeah. Like, significantly better.
College basketball,
although,
is trash.
Like, covering a game in Madison Square Garden was a dream come true. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. So, as always, I am, you know, for those of you who are new, I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined by Harrison Fagan. Harrison writes at Lakers Nation. I write at Lakers Outsiders. We do this every day. And what we're going to do for this show is we're going to talk about the game itself, and then we're going to let that conversation lead us into why this is this is exactly why Lakers Twitter and Lakers fans, myself among them, has been telling people, like, don't sleep on the Lakers' chances as, like, a basketball destination.
Because you might get dunked on.
Exactly. See what you did there. And so that's going to take up the first couple segments. And then on the backside of that, while Harrison was dead, I interviewed a Blazers fan, Ian Carmel, who is a stand-up comedian. He was hilarious. I can't lie, Harrison, we had a little fun at your expense.
I am not surprised, I guess, honestly.
As always, make sure you guys...
I just want to say, my Twitter mentions were a tire fire for 3 days after that Blazers thing. I was still getting, like, people telling me I should die.
Man, my mentions have been a tire fire for, like, 4 years.
Yeah, it's true. I got the experience of what it's like to be you. I decided I don't have opinions anymore.
As always, make sure you guys are following the show on Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Lakers Nation, where Harrison writes, Lakers Outsiders, where I write. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow Harrison on Twitter at I Am Back From The Dead. Let's go ahead and get into the game, though. First and foremost, the shout-out of all shout-outs goes to Julius Randle. Are you ready for this line?
I've been told to say no to that question. I am ready to hear Julius Randle stats.
36 points, 14 rebounds, 6 of them on the offensive end, 7 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He got those 36 points on only 18 field goal attempts. He was 14 of 18 from the line.
Apparently he's I saw Jacob Rude of Lakers Outsiders tweet this, but apparently he's like the ninth youngest player to have a stat line like that.
It was sheer dominance. And so I went on Locked On Cavs with Chris Manning last week to kind of preview this game. And I thought to myself, or I kind of predicted that I thought Randle and Nance would get kind of tied up in one of those, you know, fake stare down things, because they're both really competitive. Not that they don't like each other, but just that they're really competitive.
Well, and also they've been fighting for minutes for like years now.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And it went to it turned out that didn't happen, but it Randle basically wanted to. He sent a message, like, shouts to Randle, that he basically walked onto the court today and said, "I'm sorry, Larry. I appreciated being your teammate, but Laker fans, this is
today
why
is
I'm
the
still,
day you die.
Yeah, this is why I'm still here. Basically, this is why I'm still here, and Jordan Clarkson is a Cav."
And he offered a pretty like compelling argument to LeBron and to the Lakers front office that, like, hey, I'm pretty good too. Mm-hmm. I am a guy that is maybe worth keeping if you decide to try and go after these players.
At various points tonight, he was ISO'd on perimeter ball handlers, whether it was George Hill or whatever, and handled those quite easily, partially because those guys aren't very good on the perimeter. But he also he had a moment tonight where on one end he stops LeBron freaking James at the rim, makes his shot difficult, and then on the other end gets an and one, I believe, on a pretty – no, I think it was a pass, wasn't it? I think it was a pass.
I missed the play. I was most tuned in for the fourth quarter. I unfortunately was dealing with midterm issues for most of the game.
Well, so I'm pretty sure he drove into the lane, and the one knock on Randall is that he's fine at finding people going to his left, right? If the guy that he's passing to is on his left, he typically finds that player pretty easily. But he's dribbling into the lane. KCP was on the opposite corner from him on his right side. He finds KCP in the corner for a three. And again, it comes down to how many players in the NBA can have that type of exchange side to side on the court. I don't.
One of them's LeBron, but there aren't a whole lot.
It's like LeBron, it's Draymond, it's Giannis, and
there are very few players who can do what Julius Randle did tonight. That, I mean, he doesn't do this consistently, obviously. This is like a historic type game. Like, this is an incredible game. You can't expect something like this from him every night. Mm-hmm. But there are very few players that can even hit that peak. And this is why we keep saying, and we've been saying it.
Shouting it from
the
rooftop.
I don't know if I'm going to say all year. I know mm-hmm. I haven't been saying it all year. But since he has entered the starting lineup, I've been saying, and I think you would agree, that there is very little reason to not re-sign Julius Randle this summer mm-hmm. unless the Lakers, like, that's the only way they can get Paul George and LeBron.
And even then, you do whatever you – like, I would be – so heading into the season, if you asked me, all right, if you had to choose between a first-round pick and Julius Randle to attach to Luol Deng's contract to get it out of there, basically, right? Whether it's in the actual trade or whatever. But if you had to attach one of those assets, I would probably say it would suck, but I would probably attach Julius Randle to that to Deng to get rid of that contract. But now I've completely flopped. I would – the Lakers have the
Cavs –
flopped, flipped, whatever.
Flopped is like, so Anthony's getting a flopping fine, and mm-hmm. I will be sending a tweet from his account tomorrow.
I am a former soccer player, so there you go. That's true. Where it comes from. But I have completely flipped on that stance, and I say you keep Randall at all costs. If it takes a first rounder attached to Deng's contract to be able to sign both LeBron and Paul George and keep Julius Randle, then you do it. You do it and you don't even think about it.
Yeah, I agree, especially because he is so good as that small ball center. And so all three of those guys can theoretically play together in mm-hmm. small ball units.
Other guys played well tonight. You know, Brook Lopez, again, had a pretty solid game.
Brook Lopez deserves a real shout out for his play lately. He's been, like, the last couple games really, really good. And
since,
like,
Ingram went down.
Yeah, his three-point stroke has been just wet.
I love watching him shoot. It's like an actual catapult.
No, it is. It looks like something that should not ever go in. But no. it's like the opposite of Lonzo's release. It's almost like he's like shooting it all, like, too high.
Mm-hmm. Thomas had arguably, I would probably say, his best game as a Laker so far. 20 points, 9 assists,
so
5 rebounds.
So do you think he's an NBA player now, or?
When he look, I said he has to be nuclear to be considered. When he doesn't shoot 7 of 16, I don't think he is. Anyway, anywho.
Hey man, I might have been in New York, but I still listen to you and Coach Dad. So you know, I heard you. I heard his like kind of bemused reaction to you saying that Thomas was not an NBA player.
Yeah, he wasn't having it. All right, so
he was very nice to you about it.
Well, he's a father figure. All right, so we're going to take a quick second here. We're going to pay some bills, and on the other end of it, we're going to talk. We're going to lead again. We're going to continue this conversation and get into why the Lakers are a basketball reasons destination for whether it's LeBron, Paul George, or whoever, if the Lakers land anybody, why people shouldn't scoff at those guys' decisions.
Anthony, this is a Lakers podcast. You cannot say basketball reasons and not trigger people.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, that's another fine.
maybe I'll insult Damian Lillard's rapping ability.
Okay, too soon.
So Well, actually, just in general, the idea that the Lakers might be a basketball destination for a superstar. I think locally, people have kind of put the they've lined up the ducks. They have kind of figured out, yeah, these are the points you make here, right? This makes sense. Nationally, though, as evidenced by the podcast that we had last week with Tim Bontemps and with Matt Moore, nationally, it's,
and some takes from some podcasters that were not on our podcast
and will never be on the podcast.
Yeah, probably not after tonight. I'd say.
No. Yeah. Sorry, Nate. Nationally, the idea is less believed in by a long shot. And I continue.
You saw it tonight, though. It's starting to change. Like there are national writers, like Kevin O'Connor tonight was tweeting about, like, this is why you can't just laugh off the notion that LeBron would consider the Lakers. And I'm not saying like Kevin O'Connor is just like declaring that LeBron's coming to the Lakers, but there's a narrative shift. There are national guys starting to notice like, hey, this is what the playing well in these national TV games does, is that the national media and the narrative creation ability that they have starts to flip. And they're like, oh, well, maybe the Lakers actually, their young core, maybe they aren't like trash, I guess.
Weird. Crazy.
It's almost like young players get better.
It's almost like if you draft at the top of the draft and you are a team that drafts well, you're going to wind up with good players. See how that
works?
Yeah,
I mean, it's kind of strange. I mean, it's a new idea. We'll try and get our heads around it.
I did want to say, though, like, I'll put it to you like this, Harrison. If the Lakers land both LeBron and Paul George and add them to this young core, and you have lineups of, like, Lonzo, Paul George, Ingram, Randall and LeBron, right? Is that five guys? I think that's five guys.
Close enough.
If you go Lonzo, Paul George, Ingram, LeBron, and Randall, that lineup right there would, in my opinion,
so switchy.
It would be one of the better lineups in the NBA.
Defensively, for sure. And then obviously offensively as well, probably. as long as everybody would, like, George and Ingram can be a little streaky shooting, obviously. Lonzo, we don't know where he's going to end up. And, like, same with LeBron. LeBron's been up and down this year. And so, like, the shooting is maybe the one problem, but they'd be so good defensively at generating turnovers, and they'd just be, like, a nightmare in transition.
So he...
For their opponents, not for themselves.
He being LeBron, right? If you're LeBron, and look, I could see why, you know, you'd be a little dubious of teaming up with young guys and expecting them to be able to perform in playoff and in title contention situations. I understand where that stance comes from. But that lineup, and then you add to that, you know, role players, minimum, you know, guys, veterans will sign for the minimum to play with LeBron in L.A. You know, it's already going to be a down market anyway, so you're probably going to be able to get those guys at the minimum anyway, because
those guys that, like, guys that reporters like Lowe are saying, like, you know, good NBA players that are going to have to take the minimum just because of the lack of cap space, those guys are going to say, hey, you know, I'll go take the minimum in LA where I'm going to get a spotlight to shine.
Yep. And
if the Lakers build that team,
especially if LeBron shows up. And what I'm saying is, if LeBron and Paul George show up to the Lakers, they immediately become a title contender. Immediately.
Yeah, because the other thing, too, is that I think some people don't factor in when you're just talking about raw talent, is not only is Lonzo going to get better as he gets older, but he's already making his teammates better. Mm-hmm. We've seen that in his on-off splits. And LeBron is a guy universally known around the league as a guy that makes teammates better.
Look at what he's done for Nance. Nance has been incredible since he got over there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, LeBron is such a smart player. I saw, like, people talking about Damian Lillard the first time he played LeBron. He was talking about how LeBron knew every single one of the plays that the Trailblazers were going to run. And, like, you know, he's an incredibly smart player. He's an incredibly gifted passer. He's an insane athlete. And he's a guy that, even as he ages and has to shift down a position, is going to be incredibly valuable, because all of a sudden you start playing at a power forward. Well, then how many power forwards in the league can stop LeBron? Like, wings already can't. And the problem is that he can't defend wings as well as he used to be able to. But a power forward, yeah, LeBron's strong. He's going
to
be fine.
And look, and you're talking about not being able to defend wings. That's what Paul George is for. He's maybe the best wing defender in the league.
Yeah, and then you have Ingram, who's going to look a lot better defensively, as like guarding like the second or third best player. Mm-hmm. And then, again, Lonzo with extra help is going to look even better. We've seen how good his hands are in passing lanes and things like that. Randall has been great as at points throughout the season as a switcher. He's tailed off, and then he goes back up and all that stuff. But he's like shown potential to be an incredible defender. And like there are legitimate basketball – I'm not going to say reasons. There are legitimate basketball arguments
explanations,
to make.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
For explanations – you know, plaudits, bullet points for LeBron to join the Lakers.
That team, so I said that they would be a title contender. I would go so far as to say that if LeBron and Paul George show up in LA, that the Lakers win 60 games next year.
Damn.
They just do.
You think in the West they'd win 60 games?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. LeBron would, look.
Then I guess there's only one thing to say. This is going to be fun.
Oh, God. Why do you do that?
Photoshop LeBron and Paul George onto Dwight and Nash. Let's make it happen.
Oh, no. I
want to make sure that we play Is This Tampering about a Magic Johnson moment tonight.
Yes, that was the last thing I wanted to do before we go. So,
okay.
Magic, at one point, you know, the Lakers went on a pretty nice run. I think it was like 20 or 22 to 6 or 25 to 6 run to end one of the periods. And Magic came out from the tunnels of Staples Center, got a huge ovation, and also met with, you know, somebody who might raise a couple eyebrows. So,
yeah.
Harrison, I ask you, is it tampering that Magic Johnson met with Rich Paul of Clutch Sports? Oh, yeah, and Michael Carter, he was there too.
Who I found out follows me on Twitter the other day, which is weird because I've definitely tweeted a couple Rich Paul jokes. So,
well,
if anything happens to me,
LeBron is a confirmed future Laker now.
Yeah, I think we just confirmed it. But no, apparently it is not tampering. So, like, because Rich Paul is KCP's agent, and mm-hmm. the Lakers paid $20 million this year. This is like, if you really go back and you think about the logistics of this, sure, the Lakers wanted KCP the basketball player. But if you really are really looking at this, they paid $20 million to be allowed to talk to LeBron's agent for the whole year. That, if that's not flexing, I don't know what is. Like, light Magic years. Johnson, you are a big baller. Possibly the biggest baller.
Well, actually, they technically paid, because if they get Paul George, right? So if they get Paul George, they basically paid this year 5.75 or 5.25 million.
Were you factoring in Randall's salary too?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
Well, yeah, you got Randall, and then you got the fines there.
Well, I mean, they were going to pay. Like, Randall was on the team regardless. I'm saying, like, KCP was specifically, most people were speculating, a Rich Paul favor.
Yeah, and it worked. And, if it works.
Yeah. I mean, like, that is the Cavaliers right now have to be apoplectic that Magic Johnson was not only the Lakers were not only beating their team mm-hmm. in L.A., like, fans were cheering and recruiting LeBron, but Magic is sitting there courtside talking to LeBron's agent. I'm sure about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Why would he have
I would never want to imply
yeah.
anything otherwise. Wink, wink.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, he was just telling him, look, Paul or KCP has played well, especially since coming back from, you know, jail.
Yeah, it's like, hey, KCP can probably tell you a little bit about what Lonzo can do for players, just mm-hmm. in case you were interested in that.
Yeah, take a little look at what Randall might be able to do for KCP.
Yeah,
he's really obviously. Enjoyed playing with KCP.
Really enjoying the Kentavious experience.
Yes, absolutely. All right, we are going to take a quick second here, and I'm going to throw to the conversation that I had with Ian Carmel. We get into fandom versus sports coverage, and, you know, this idea of it's a wasted season if you don't win a title, all of those things. It was a really fun conversation. And he's, you know, a freaking comedian. So he was hilarious. He gave me a hard time for having a sip of wine on the podcast. So
did my Blazer suite come up at all or?
No, of course.
Oh,
not.
God. Am I about to get roasted by like an actual professional comedian? Should I not listen to today's show?
You might want to skip the show.
Okay, well, but you guys should keep listening, I'm sure.
You should show it to your parents.
Oh, no. Not again.
Have a good one, everybody. Shouts again to Julius Randle. You're a freaking stud. This was a lot of fun. I love being proven right on some stuff. I thoroughly enjoyed Julius Randle going. He sent me a text after the
dunking
game.
Dunking on the haters.
You're welcome, Anthony. You're welcome.
I don't. Okay, that's probably not true.
You don't know.
I guess I don't.
You don't have my phone. Have a good one, everybody.
Sources have mixed things to say.
All right, we're joined now by Ian Carmel of All Fantasy Everything, first and foremost, which if you guys aren't listening to the show, like what the actual hell, right? And then and then he also writes and appears on The Late Late Show, and then he has a special coming out on Netflix, which you guys all should keep an eye out for. Ian, first and foremost, huge fan of All Fantasy Everything. I find
Thank
myself
you.
Drafting everything that I see now. Like,
oh, I know. It's such a fun way to think about the world. It's we have people like messaging us, a lot of people who go on like long car rides now mm-hmm. with their friends, and then rather than listening to music or podcasts, they just fantasy draft stuff for like the entire 7-hour drive from Sacramento to somewhere acceptable.
It's really, really fun. It's a cool concept. If you guys aren't familiar with the show, they hop on there and they fantasy draft anything. It can be sandwiches, it can be anything, and it's a really good time. Make sure you guys are subscribed to that on iTunes. What we're going to do is we're going to bullshit back and forth about the Lakers and the Blazers and the history between those two teams, and then I also want to get into some of the dynamic of being a fan versus the way teams are covered nowadays. So that's going to be on the back half of this, but I want to start here. My
yes.
co-host, Harrison, was the one who called Damian Lillard a worse rapper than Lou Williams with worse hair. and then proceeded to get murdered by Damian Lillard as he scored 15 straight points in the fourth quarter and put the Lakers away. So Harrison hasn't appeared on a show since this, and people are legitimately asking, wait, did Damian actually kill him? I'll just give you a few seconds, just laugh at the dude.
he may have. If you saw pictures of Damian Lillard leaving the hotel in Los Angeles, he had what appeared to be baby shower gifts with him, but it could have been Harrison's head.
Yeah.
Just in a gift bag to throw off the fence. You can joke about Damian Lillard's new hair. I mean, say whatever you want about it, but he's been averaging 35 points a game since the new haircut.
He's injected himself into the MVP race despite the hair. It's one of the bigger feats.
You say despite. I think it might be because of. The most the haircut's ever done for me has gotten me like one date that didn't go that well. Meanwhile, Damian Lillard like has maybe gotten himself like a second team All-NBA rating because of it.
What's funny is that Lonzo cut his hair and immediately started shooting better.
I think it might be the key. God, I hope. I really don't want to be mean about Lonzo because I'm rooting for him as someone who also has a difficult father who I love but who is difficult. But ooh, I truly believe he's going to age into someone who's more pleasant to look at. But he is a teenager right now. He is like hard teenager face.
So I tweeted out one day that like there's because he for first and foremost so he cuts his hair and that kind of helps a little bit. Although he has kind of like a beer can head, where it's just kind of it's really narrow and kind of tall and.
The same size all up and down. Yeah, it doesn't contour at all.
Right. And so but I kind of said like, he can do whatever he wants, but right now he's in that goofy phase. Like he's just in kind of a goofy phase.
He's in a fully goofy phase. I like to think he's going to age out of it. Plus you're handsome no matter what if you're going to end up averaging a triple double. I mean that
yeah.
You that know, helps. And then, and helps. So what does the Jay-Z say? There aren't any ugly millionaires, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. that's for sure. He's done all right for himself.
Yeah.
So you were at the game then when
I was.
So as that's going on, for me personally, I'm a Laker fan, but more than anything, I'm a basketball fan.
It was a little choppy there for a sec. Will you say that again? Sorry, I think my connection got a little bit bad.
So I was
at the game.
Yeah, so I am a Laker fan first, but I am a bigger basketball fan than anything. And as that's going on, I'm just thinking, like, this has to be insane. And for you being a Blazers fan and for being, I would imagine, a lifelong or a long-time Blazers fan.
Lifelong,
As that's going on, you had to have been freaking out, right? Just like, all right, this might end. Nope. No, he's made another one from 46.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say, yes, lifelong Blazer fan, although there was a brief dalliance with the Charlotte Hornets based completely on the color turquoise and how unique it was back in the early 90s. But I think a lot of us went through that phase where, like, you'd have a Kendall Gill jersey for some reason, even though you grew up, you didn't care about their team at all. But
the Charlotte Hornets were way ahead of their time with, like, the purple and teal look, which was brought back in Black Panther, and it looked incredible. And it was like, yeah, you guys do your thing.
It's back in a big way. If I had a grandmama jersey right now, I'd be out there on Fairfax just killing them. And I can make that reference on a Lakers podcast, and people will know what it means. Yep. But when that started happening in the Blazer Laker game, it was beautiful because they've been like just feckless and lazy and. They seemed tired. It seemed like L.A. nightlife being undefeated was going to be like a true axiom again for the Blazers. And then the streak was in jeopardy. You know, we were talking about the streak. And then Dame just put I can cuss. Can I cuss?
Or yeah, go for it. Whatever.
Yeah, so, I mean, Laker fans all over were talking shit, you know, like, because they saw me. I was wearing like a Jerome Kersey jersey. There were various Blazer fans, you know, sprinkled in throughout the arena. Fewer than at Clippers games, I should say. There were fewer tickets. I'm going off on so many tangents, but here's one more tangent. There were a ton of Laker fans at that game, and they were, like, ready to go. I tweeted about this, but, like, I'll talk shit about Laker fans, like, in Portland, because, like, they were, you know, probably born in Portland. I'm like, why the hell are you a Laker fan? But, like... The Laker fans in LA are like really good basketball fans.
It was kind of funny when, like, even when the Lakers were at their absolute lowest,
yeah,
they were still drawing. Like, throughout all Lob City, there was this kind of, you know, kind of movement and question as to whether or not, hey, is LA becoming a Clipper town? And I would always just laugh because it's like the Lakers were out raiding the Clippers on TV.
Yes.
And they were outselling the Clippers in the arena. Like, that was just never a thing.
Laker fans are like they're like Cleveland Indian fans, like in Cleveland. Like, they're just fans of the team. It doesn't matter what's going on with it, you know, without the racist mascot. But but like I think they have this weird like LA identity sort of like Velcro to them. I just want the listeners to know that Anthony's drinking a glass of red wine.
Always.
While we're recording.
Yep.
Very classy. That made my whole night. just a glass of wine popped into the Skype screen. But, they're great fans. I mean, I'm sure it's mostly Laker fans listening to this, so they already know. But it's like, yeah, you can't really talk shit about Laker fans in LA. But they were talking shit to us at the game. And as soon as Dame hit the first one, I saw a couple fans start pouring to their wrists, you know, doing the Dame thing.
Yep.
He hit the second one, and it started spreading. By the time you hit that third one, that one from, like, the logo.
Yep, from the R. It wasn't even the S. It was from the R.
The audacity to shoot from there is, like, wild. You thank
while
you, Obama,
also,
for opening
while
up
also kind of running away from the basket. Like, he was curling away from the basket.
It was not quite a turnaround jump shot, but, like, a quarter of a turnaround jump shot from the R. It was when that happened, I was standing up. Pointing at the wrist, I was like there with a girl, and I didn't want to like act out too much, you know, because I didn't want to be like her to think like, oh, he's the guy who goes to basketball games and like shouts obscenities at people. But when that one happened, I like leapt up and I was like, it's Dame time, it's fucking Dame time.
you were Elaine's boyfriend with like who like killed
100%. I was like, funny. I had the I was dressed like a devil, or I was wearing a blazer or whatever our equivalent is, and I couldn't help myself. I mean, when Dame goes off like that, that's what you go to the games for, hoping you see something like that. Mm-hmm. And then it happened. It was just, and then the fourth one hit, and it was just like crazy.
Yeah,
that's. I mean, yeah, and it was one of those beautiful moments where, like, for most of the game, I was engrossed in conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, with the basketball game, I'm paying attention to it, but just being kind of vaguely frustrated with it.
Yeah.
It was one of those ugly, we're down by 10 the whole game games. And then Dame lit it up in the fourth quarter. Apparently, like, whatever IV drip he got to help fight the hangover started kicking in.
Finally, he had that ginger ale. He
might, exactly.
If he was Meta World Peace, he would have had, like, a Hennessy in the back and then came out with the hair of the dog and felt perfectly fine.
He had a Hennyolite, which is Henny and Pedialyte.
That's like the new age Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
So I wanted to – you kind of alluded to, you know, Lillard, and I talked about it, I talked about it at the beginning and I teased it, that like there's this movement in sports coverage now. So when we were growing up, it was just objectivity and it was just beat reporter stuff. There was no opinion really in it unless you were a columnist. And then it, you know, bloggers started to gain a foothold. And now, instead of, you know, when people had their opinions now, it's not, you know, for the most part, there is some fanboy going on. But for the most part, it's a lot of like, okay, yeah, Dame Lillard is a lot of fun to watch play basketball. But does this Blazers team have a ceiling with it, right?
Yeah.
And I could just see it. I try to stay away from it to a certain extent because as a fan, that has to get kind of annoying, right? Where you go to that game, you have that experience, and then if you're hearing about ceilings right after the fact, it's like throwing a bucket of water after sex. It's just a terrible thing to do.
Yeah, why would you do it? Yeah, it's I will say it is a little bit frustrating. I've done a 180 just in my life. When I was like in my mid-20s and I was watching probably fewer games than I watch now, because it was before League Pass and everything like that, I was one of those like, you know, we got to put ourselves in a position to win a championship, blah, blah, blah. And now that I watch more games and everything and I've kind of real, I'm like, well, only one team can win the championship every year, obviously. And it's like, I enjoy getting to go to like Staples in March and watching Damian Lillard, like, you know, he go for 15 points in like 3 minutes or whatever it was he did, and like light it up. Watching them beat the Warriors, right, in February, just on a random night, knowing they're not going to beat them four times in a series, you know, that's absurd. But that night was so much fun, getting to like hang out and watch that happen and be surrounded by Blazer fans because I flew up to Portland for it. It was amazing, and I think maybe. Like, I don't know how you feel about the – I mean, you're both a journalist and a Laker fan, so I don't know how you feel about this. But, like, I mean, with the Lakers, there's a little bit of a different standard because, what, do you have 16 championships?
It's 16.
16, so that seems like a more obtainable goal, right? That's a reachable goal. The Blazers haven't won the championship in my lifetime, so it's almost like we haven't tasted that before.
Yeah.
So just to get these games where it's like – to see them like beat the Warriors in February or to win a playoff series against an injured Clippers team or whatever it is, you know, that's pretty, it still feels really good. It's not like a thing that I'm at all jaded towards. And I've learned to appreciate that more. And the idea, sorry to keep ranting.
Go ahead, go ahead.
But like, there's a lot of people who are like, we have to trade CJ or like, we should trade Dame and like blow the whole thing up and like, do the process or go for a championship. I'm like, nah, fuck that. I don't want to watch 4 years of bad Blazer teams,
right,
you know, hoping that we draft, you know, a Joel Embiid instead of a Greg Oden, you know, or even instead of a Jahlil Okafor or like however it ends up happening.
I mean, hell, you drafted a Greg Oden and he was legit. Like he just happened to have bad knees. He happened to have bad feet. You know, Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, now we're towards the end of the quote-unquote process with the Lakers, right, where they're kind of, all right, it looks like they might have something with Lonzo. It looks like they might have something with Ingram. Julius Randle is a freaking bull, right? So it looks like they have a core, but it took 5 years to get here. And when you consider the fact that a lot of people are fans of teams for, I don't know, 50 years, would you say, tops? A tenth of your fandom was spent on just terrible basketball.
I know. That's why I feel so bad for Timberwolves fans, where their team, for so long, when they weren't even trying to crater, they were just, like, never good enough. And most Timberwolves fans are so nice and, like, so neurotic because of it. But, I don't want to, you know, like, it would be wonderful to watch the Blazers win a championship.
Yeah.
And if that happens, it'll probably have to happen either via the draft. Or, I mean, if like James Harden, Steph Curry, and LeBron James are filming an Uber commercial together and the car wrecks, or what, like, whatever it's gonna take. But like, in the meantime, I'm like, I really enjoy watching them play and win and be competitive and like having these amazing players on the team. It's really fun. Like, it would be such a bummer to trade Dame. And I know you eventually fall. It's like any relationship. Eventually, you fall in love with whoever the new player. Like Cameron Reddish or whoever it is they end up getting.
It might be,
yeah. Yeah, but But yeah, I flip sides. I'm no longer one of those all or nothing dudes. I'm somebody who's down to like just be a fan of the team when it's good. Also, I grew up like that. I mean, like when I was a kid and like all the way through, God, I think it was like 2004, the Blazers were in the playoffs like every year for like 20 something years, you mm-hmm. know? So that's what we're used to.
What do you think do you think there's anything that can be done about it to kind of get people to back off of the all or nothing thing? Because like the first place that I actually heard that sentiment was Derek Jeter when he was a Yankee. And he was a Yankee so that they, you know, like you're talking about with Lakers and the Yankees, there's a different expectation there. But their season ended, and I don't know if it ended in the World Series or whatever. And he was asked, you know, put the season in perspective. And he said, well, we lost. We didn't win a World Series. It was a failure as a season. And I think they made it to the World Series. It was the year that they lost to the Diamondbacks.
Oh, yeah, yeah, 2001.
Yeah, and he was saying that it was like, you know, this was a disappointing season. And I'm thinking, you're one of two teams left.
I know, like, I know.
And from there, you know, people just went nuts over it. They thought, you know, that's how our athletes should talk. And I kind of, the more I've paid attention to sports, not just Lakers, but just all of sport, I start thinking that can't be healthy for fandom. Like that can't be a good way to go about things.
Like maybe the players need it to keep driving themselves forward. That I get is wanting to like, you know, give yourself any edge you can. But like, yeah, for fans, that's just going to make you sick, you know?
You have a 1 in 30 chance at best.
Right. If the only thing you enjoy is like a championship, it's like, do you really like the sport or do you just like being the best at things, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, what's changed for me is like I've really learned to love basketball, like watching basketball. And I want my team to win, of course, because it's in that tribal way, you know, especially in Portland, like a city that was, and I'm sure it's also true here in Los Angeles, where it's such a dynamic city where it feels like 30 neighborhoods like slammed into one another. Mm-hmm. And Portland, which is a city that like went from being this like enclave of, you know, real weirdos, like heroin addicts and lumberjacks and like people who worked in the shipping industry, you know, from the 80s and 90s into like this place that like is now very like hip and full of cool restaurants and advertising agencies, you know, so there's this like very, not only like segregated city racially and economically, but also when it comes to schools of thought. And the only thing any of us have in common really is like, is the Trailblazers and complaining about rain, you know, and like, and with like expats like me, PD expats, I call us, you know, and like this, we're all over the country. Like, you know, so that's why like I want the Blazers to win, mm-hmm. because it's this thing that like it feels, the team feels like home to me. And
that's a cool line.
Yeah, it really does. That's, and I think that's, which is also why it bugs me when people are like, oh, sport, like how was the sports match? Did your group of large men wearing jerseys defeat the other? I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like you, it's stupid. It makes you look stupid. I know you're trying to be like an elitist who makes fun of the jocks and people who care, but like, it just shows such a shallow understanding of why humans care about this kind of thing. But like, but the original point was saying that like I enjoy watching basketball. When the Blazers are good, you know, that means I get to watch better basketball, even if they're not going to win a championship. Mm-hmm. So if you're just in it like rings or bust, it's like, do you really love watching basketball? You know,
or do you like bragging about the team or being a fan of the team that's good?
Yes, yeah, or like dunking on people on Twitter, like whatever the thing is, you know, yeah, which is also fun, but like. Yeah. Yeah, as long as it's in good jest. Hey, yeah,
I had a blast watching Harrison get dunked on. That was it.
You can't go after his rap album, the poor guy.
Yeah, right? All right, well, hey, I'm going to let you go because you have a ton of stuff going on. But
I got to go to the improv. I forgot I had a show tonight.
I thoroughly enjoyed talking to you. I could have talked to you for a long time. I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm going to bring you on back on here at some point.
I'd love to come do it again. Let's do it again when our teams, they play each other again this year, right?
I think so, towards the end of the year.
I think so, too. I know they're back in L.A. at least one more time.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you very much again. That is Ian Carmel of the All Fantasy Everything show, the Late Late Show. And then, again, he has a show coming out on Netflix, which I could not possibly be more personally pumped for. So
thank you for not bringing up the 2000 Western Conference Finals. You're a gentleman.
Well, it was good strategery from you. to give me only 20 minutes and make That's sure right. I couldn't bring that up.
We had to cover the important stuff. Next time we'll delve into my team's painful history.
All right, everybody. Have a good one.
All right. Go Blazers.